So one thing that you've touched on in this conversation was you talked about how gurus help you, if it's working right, to transcend your ego.
Right.
And how in psychotherapy, perhaps there are parts of your ego that need to be constructed or strengthened.
Strengthened, yeah.
And it seems like there's a lot of confusion
around
building the ego, letting go of the ego, what is the ego. So, Ken, can you just illuminate it here for us?
In a sense, we talk about those in terms of two kind of different stages, so to speak. And the language is a little bit different. So,
How did I know there was going to be more than one thing going on?
I'm going to simplify this time and make just one thing. Just one thing going on. Just one. And it just, you know, shock us all and we will die. It seems confusing because these two different legs we're talking about, sort of, you know, you have to create an ego and then you have to transcend it or tear it down. It's actually one continuous process. And it's only one thing that's happening. And the only difference between those two legs is the therapists stop it at a certain point, and spiritual teachers don't. And what's happening is strengthening your capacity to witness. And that really is what's happening. A strong ego in psychoanalysis means a capacity for disinterested awareness. It means to be aware of the objects of consciousness without libidinal attachment. In other words, the objects of desire don't push you around. You witness them and you have some mastery or control over them. And that's what a strong ego is. It's a form of being able to witness what happens without getting knocked over by it. Now, what happens in forms of neurosis, borderline, and so on, is that you have very strong desires that you can't control. They appear as its objects, obsessions, compulsions, and you have no equanimity. You cannot witness them with evenly hovering attention. You act on them. You either act out, you act on your addictions, or you push by them, or your compulsions, you can't this. All of that is what psychotherapy, in a sense, is designed to break the hold of. And it does it by witnessing it, by whatever name. It makes it an object. You look at it, you discuss it, you bring it into awareness. It's no longer a hidden subject or desire. It becomes an object. And anytime something becomes an object, you strip it of its capacity to run your life. So what psychoanalysis, psychotherapy, and so on, what they call creating a strong ego, is about halfway up the scale of creating a strong witness or falling into a sense of a strong witness. And they stop that right about level 5. As we were saying. And for no other reason than that they just don't know about level 6 and 7. They generally stop it right around level 4 to level 5. And that's called the rational egoic self, and it's mature, and it has decathected its libidinal objects and all sorts of other wonderful things that everybody wants to have done. And then it stops. Spiritual practice continues the process. You then witness that ego. You witness that sense of self, and you keep witnessing it. And when you continue to do that, at some point, you run into this vast sea of ever-present awareness that is literally what you are and is the foundation of everything that's arising moment to moment. That is generally called spiritual, not called psychotherapeutic. But it's one line. It's one process. It's the same thing carried to infinity. So it's always been a little confusing to say, we create the ego, we get rid of the ego, and so on. Ego is Latin for I. All it means is I. And so Atman, the Hindu term for self, is just, it means I. It means big I, basically. When Suzuki Roshi talks about mind and big mind, that's ego and big ego. Because we have such a bad, ego has such a bad rep, it's hard for us to see that big mind and big ego and God are all the same thing. It just means that pure I, that pure awareness. Ramana Maharshi called the witness the I-I, I-I, because it's the I that witnesses the little I. You call that the ego-ego. That's what it means. So all it's really talking about is capacity for awareness, and that's one continuous increase from not very much of it to ever-present God consciousness, and it's just a, you know, stairway to heaven.
Now, there was an article you wrote, I think it was for What is Enlightenment, about having non-dual awareness and at the same time including a big functional ego and how taboo this is.
We have some expectation
that our highly evolved spiritual teachers shouldn't have big egos running around,
right.
But that you didn't see this necessarily as a contradiction.
Right. And there I'm sort of playing on the conventional understanding where even then, where ego tends to mean just a strong personality as well. But yes, in both of those cases, the ego's gotten a bad rap. It's not that samsara or illusion or unenlightenment means that we have an ego. Another way to say the problem is our ego isn't big enough. That the I is supposed to stretch to infinity. It's not supposed to be identified with this little body mind. So the problem with the ego is not that it's an ego, but that it's a puny ego. It's really selling itself way short. The self-esteem that psychotherapists pitch isn't really self-esteem. It's a catastrophe. It's a pitiful slice of what you are. Self-esteem is the self-esteem of a godhead, self-esteem of radical spirit, which is what you actually are. And settling for, well, you know, gosh, I'm this finite Ken that goes over here and does this and writes that, is a travesty. It's also a case of mistaken identity. But not something you want to, you know, stop with. But most of the great spiritual teachers that continue their growth in expanding the I until it literally embraces the entire cosmos with love, consciousness, bliss, awareness, is that their individual personalities also become very, very strong personalities. And many of the great, now the point I was making in that particular piece is many of the really great realizers are thunderous personalities. And some of them are slightly whacked and unbalanced, as we talked about, because it just, that's how it happens. Part of the vehicle can be a little bit dented or bruised, and certain lines aren't quite up to speed. But many of the really great realizers, almost all of the ones that founded traditions, were what we would call big characters, big egos, full of a kind of obstreperousness and a boisterousness. Now I find them absolutely fascinating.
You can't think of any meek personalities who were founders of traditions?
Not very many. I mean, even, St. Teresa was the only woman that founded an entire branch of Catholicism, contemplative order. And she was a very, very powerful presence, an unbelievably powerful personality. So it doesn't mean louder in that sense, but just a forceful, forceful presence. I think most of them really are very, very, very forceful. Again, it's not a hard and fast rule. I just wanted to play against the stereotype that somehow getting rid of ego means that you really melt into unrecognizability. And I find it just the opposite. Most of the people that we've been talking about were really, really full of life. I mean, whether it was Trungpa or Adida or even Krishnamurti. Krishnamurti used to drive around Alfa Romeos wearing, you know, Italian leather shoes. I mean, he was full of personality. We have very, very, I think, slightly strange notions about enlightenment because we really sort of want it to be dehumanized and decontaminated. All the things that give us trouble in life, sex, money, food, power, are things that enlightened people just aren't supposed to have at all. And mostly they have more of it. Just, they're more full of all of that, you know. And that's what I think makes them so fascinating. I think that's why people like to be around them. You're in the presence of these people and things light up. There's juice, there's energy. And that's what gets things created. That's what starts lineages. I mean, certainly, like I said, the founders of the lineages were very, very, very forceful people. Very few exceptions.
So if this line of ego and then trans-ego development is really just one line, wouldn't it make sense for psychotherapy and spirituality to come together into one form? So instead of going to see my therapist, you know, on Wednesdays and going to my meditation group on the weekend, it could all be part of one thing, combined, a spiritual
tradition, and that's what integral is just that. It's one thing. In other words, people that practice, and there's no real good term for this, we call it integral psychology or integral therapy, see it as one thing. There is, however, a use in saying, for example, I'm climbing up a mountain, and I'm climbing Mount Everest, and the problems that I face going up the first half of the mountain are different from the problems I face going up the second half, and you're allowed to specialize. Some people are better at dealing with problems down at the lower levels, and other people specialize in altitude sickness and so on. So it's okay that the sort of the earlier phases deal more with, let's say, the lower chakra concerns, levels 1, 2, and 3 kind of concerns, money, food, sex, power, all the pre-rational things, and some people specialize in those, which psychotherapy often does. And then others specialize in the higher chakras of where you're getting more into universal love, compassion, bliss, and so on. Nonetheless, it's still one thing. But you can still have specialists all along the route, and there's a place for that.
Yeah, I understand, but if I wanted to really learn meditation, I'm not going to go to an integral therapist to
unfortunately,
teach me that.
No, you're going to...
I want to be part of a lineage, or I want to have that support and those checks, and I want to be checked out. by a really high quality teacher who's been checked out, him or herself.
Definitely.
But I would want that person then to incorporate
this other stuff.
Yeah, the psychological.
Well, what, right now we're going to be, I agree, right now we're in a kind of transition period where people have to kind of be a hybrid on these things. And we have a couple of models that we're working with, and that we're all kind of sort of stumbling along on this as we figure out how to put these things together while both keeping all of the precious treasures of a lineage. You can't just go throwing that stuff out. And yet finding ways to update it, integrate it, and so on. One of the models we have is a GP, like a family practitioner. GP means general practitioner. It's your family physician. So you go to your family physician, and the family physician will give you a test and say, well, I have bad news. It looks like a tumor. And then you go to a specialist. You go to somebody who actually is good at brain surgery or whatever it is that you have to do. So the family practitioner doesn't himself or herself actually do that kind of surgery, but knows who to go to. In other words, isn't integrally informed. So what we have, we're kind of creating GPs, if you will, of psychotherapeutic, spiritual overall process. And they're people that, if they can't specialize in all these things, they can at least recognize where the problems are and where you would need help in any one of these various areas. So that's why we can take somebody who's a lineage holder in Vedanta or in Buddhism or Taoism or Sufism or Christian contemplative traditions, we can integrally inform them about the other levels, lines, states, types that aren't dealt with in their lineage. And then they can still honor that lineage. That, you're not supposed to get rid of that. It does what it does beautifully. It's just you can say, okay, now there are these other areas where we recommend you check these out, and you can actually send people to do that. It might be that somebody in Christian contemplative centering prayer needs actual psychotherapy, gestalt, hatha yoga, weightlifting, nutritional supplements, community work, and so on. And so by making a GP an integrally informed person, we hope to allow them to keep all of their lineage if they want to do that, for example, but start to plug it into these other areas.